talk some Zion Williamson, shall we? Last night, the Pelicans got a true taste of their future. Pelicans beat the Blazers handily behind a career-high 31 points from Zion in 28 minutes of play, prompting Carmelo Anthony to say he can't even compare Zion to anyone he's ever seen. Here is Zion on his career night.
I expect to make an impact, but I don't expect to do nothing like this. Just kind of look to come in, just kind of fit in, just not try to mess up. But my teammates and coaches are always pushing me, say no, like, be outside the box. At the end of the day, I'm 19. I have a lot of room for growing, so I will mess up. I'm not perfect. I will have bad games, but I'm just going to learn from them.
That is what I want to bottle. That, you know, I know I'm going to make an impact. I didn't realize it was this much. I'm only 19. I want to learn. I want to just bottle all of that sort of approach to how he's going to start his career. But when you look at what he's been able to do so far in, what, 9 games that he's played so far in the NBA, has he actually exceeded his sky-high expectations?
I think for most people he has. To me, this is great. It's just perfect. Because I'm old enough to remember 3 weeks ago when the narrative was, Pelicans made the wrong pick, man. Ja Morant's going to be the best player because Zion hadn't played yet and people couldn't be bothered to remember his annihilation of college basketball in his 1 year at Duke. And listen, Ja's awesome. Ja's carrying the Grizzlies potentially to the playoffs, which nobody saw coming, and credit to him. But Antoine, right now today, if you were a GM and the whole league were available to you, contracts, forget contracts, it's just you get this player for the next 10 years. Giannis is the number one pick in that circumstance. Zion and Luka, or Luka and Zion, are the next two guys off the board. He is, to me, already established that. He has already established that moving forward. He is a foundational superstar. And without projection, just right now, I don't know there's 25 better players in the league this moment. His efficiency is unbelievable. His ability to get to the rim at will is unbelievable. And he is just learning as he goes. And he still only had one bad game. So I thought he'd be 23-10 his rookie season. And he's projecting a little fewer rebounds, but points-wise right in that range. And this is exactly who he looked like he was going to be to me coming out of Duke.
I heard Melo say he couldn't really compare him to nobody after playing against him. I got a small sample size of the real Charles Barkley. I played against him his last 4 years when he was not the same, obviously. But he's the Charles Barkley of this era. If you really look at it, look at his body type. He's an undersized power forward. The way his ability, his athletic ability speaks for itself. His going one-on-one, coast-to-coast to be able to finish to make the correct play. If you just watch Barkley highlights and look at his, it's pretty much the same. And Zion's probably more aggressive around the rim, probably a little bit more athletic than Charles as far as dunking on people, yep, finishing the rim. But they're both the same type of players to me. I think if you look at the numbers, Barkley for his career was like 22-11. Zion is probably going to be a 2010 guy his whole career as well. It's hard to say right now if he's a top 25 player. I want to see a little bit more before I put him in that category, a top 25. But he'll be there very quickly. They made the right choice. He's a guy you can build around. And I hope they continue to put good pieces around him because they got something special there. To lose Anthony Davis and to get a guy like this was huge for New Orleans. And if they got to make sure they get a good point guard around him, somebody can give him the ball, distribute. Don't make him do things that he doesn't have to do. He don't have to be Superman because his efficiency goes out the roof. It's amazing how good he's around the basket.
And on the Barkley comparison, I don't think he'll ever be quite the rebounder Charles was, but I think he'll be a better defender. Charles was not a great defensive player. Zion, because of the athleticism and the instincts, has already shown, at least on weak side, help defense can be elite. And I think at some point on the ball defense, because his first step is so great, he can be an excellent on the ball defender. And he's a winning player. The Pelicans won 40% of their games he hasn't played in this year. They're 5-4 in the games he has played in, and that easily could be 7-2 if the first two games he played, he wasn't on that minutes restriction where they had to take him out and they weren't able to get a full game out of Zion. But as far as opening 9 games, can we show it? Let's show who Zion stacks up against as far as guys who have averaged at least 20 points on 50% shooting in their opening 9 games over the last 35 years. I mean, you've got...
It's a nice group.
I mean, that is an amazing group. And the, people might say Grant Hill, the young audience. Grant, before his ankles went out on him...
Was top three player in the league. At,
exactly right. Yeah. Was, and he came out of Duke polished.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He had more experience in college. Shaq, phenom. David Robinson, phenom. Michael Jordan, one of the three greatest players of all time. What Zion's doing is... It's not unprecedented, but the people who have set the precedent are some of the greatest players we've ever seen.
Do you think everyone's on board? Do you think that that's sort of a unanimous, agreed upon sort of value to where Zion is right now? I mean, why isn't everybody on board on how good he is so quickly?
Well, I think everybody's worried about his conditioning and whether or not he's going to be in shape and be able to maintain. But he's 19 years old. I don't even worry about that. He'll get that. He'll figure that out. It's scary if he decides to go the other way and really focus in on his body, because the sky's the limit how good he can be then. But I'm fine with that. That's going to come. If he was able to play the whole season, he'll be in the best shape of his life. See him about another month from now. He'll be even better, as long as he don't get hurt.
Conditioning doesn't bother you? Do any of the injuries bother you at all?
No, he's young. I mean, that happens. I mean, a guy like that with that athletic ability, he's going to have some knee problems because he plays above the rim. And that usually happens with guys that play above the rim. But I think he'll be fine.
Listen, Jen, I'm sure everyone, he just scored 31 points. So everyone who was saying Josh should have been the pick is now saying Zion, you know what I mean, might win Rookie of the Year. So I missed in the first half of the year. Some guys profile out. There are certain guys where the story, it's like, wow, didn't see that one coming. And those are great stories. But it's also a great story when it's like, oh, since he was 15 years old, he's supposed to be this. And he is becoming exactly
that. LeBron story.
The LeBron story is the same story. It's like, oh, he was just bigger, stronger, and faster than everyone in high school. We saw the highlights and we said, he's going to be an awesome pro.
Right.
Zion had a year of college sandwiched in between, goes to Duke, is the third best recruit in his own class, and then is the best player in college basketball, arguably the best season anyone has had since Durant at Texas. Like, some guys just profile out. He's that guy and he's living up to those, if not exceeding those expectations.
And he's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. God.
So fun.
We need more high flyers in this shooting league. It's fun.
All in all, over $218 billion of food goes to waste in this country every year, including 20 billion pounds of produce. That's what Imperfect Foods is here to change. Imperfect Foods is the only food delivery service that buys the perfectly nutritious and delicious foods grocery stores won't sell and delivers them to you at a discount so you can save money and help reduce food waste. Imperfect Food sources directly from farmers committed to quality and delivers delicious and perfect groceries to you for up to 30% less than grocery stores. Imperfect Foods flexible plans let you pick healthy, seasonal produce alongside grocery staples. Read about Imperfect Foods in the New York Times, Bloomberg, and Forbes, or ask any of their over 200,000 satisfied customers. Start saving time, saving money, and saving waste right now. Because when you go to imperfectfoods.com/Ron now through February 16th, you'll get $10 off your next four orders. That's a total of $40 off. Just go to imperfectfoods.com/Ron to get $10 off your next four orders. imperfectfoods.com/Ron and enter R-O-N, Ron, at checkout. Dallas Cowboys Hall of Famer Michael Irvin has been causing a little stir with his comments recently. Last week, he said he was hearing Tom Brady could end up in Dallas. But yesterday, he put all his backing behind Dak, saying this of Brady potentially coming to town: I am blown away with this. Ain't no way in the world that should happen. That would be insane. Are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind? It is over for Tom.
He's going to walk this back too now. I know, probably. I promise.
But let me ask you, Nick, would Brady give the Cowboys, though, a better chance at a Super Bowl than Dak Prescott would?
Not to answer your question. I just want to say, I love Mike. But this is shame on all of us. Mike prefaced his initial comments. He literally said, I set my cranberry and vodka down when I heard it. So he told us the scenario in which he heard it. Drinking at a Super Bowl party, and now we're like, Michael Irvin's got sources. So we all probably overreacted this initially. But now to answer your question, I wouldn't give Dak Prescott some top-of-the-market extension. But Dak Prescott right now, and I've been a bit of a critic of his, is obviously better than Tom Brady. Dak Prescott, if they were two players for 1 year on the same exact contract, Dak Prescott, even in that scenario, gives the Patriots a better chance to win. I'm sorry, gives the Cowboys a better chance to win than the Tom Brady would. Right, that would be. Now, with that said, I do think if both of these teams were available for Tom, I do think the Cowboys give him a better chance to win than the Patriots. They have the offensive line, they have the running back, they have a number one receiver. So I think the Cowboys are better situated for either quarterback, but if they could have either quarterback at the same price, even without even projecting the years out, where Dak's got another decade to play and Tom maybe has one or two more years, I'd still, in just 2020 alone, rather have Dak Prescott, because he's coming off arguably, and he's a flawed player, but he's coming off arguably, or an imperfect player, I should say, the best year of his career, while Brady's coming off arguably the worst year he's had in nearly 20 years. So, to me, Dak is the clear-cut answer.
Well, you're saying he had the best year of his career from a passing metric standpoint, but he had the lowest win total of his career. So, I mean, I don't necessarily look at the production in the passing game equating to the results that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are looking for. But when you're looking at both of the quarterbacks, I'm not ready to say that Dak is already better than Tom Brady. But what I am willing to say is, when you're talking about a contract for both of these players, I think you give a better chance of having the return on investment that you're looking for with Dak, because I do believe that you're talking about an ascending player as opposed to Tom Brady, who is a declining player. And Jerry Jones, if he really thought that Tom Brady was going to be an option this offseason, if you know you're going to make a head coaching change, then you probably would have looked at potentially going down the road of Josh McDaniels as opposed to hiring Mike McCarthy. So I got to be all the way out on the rumors that are connecting Tom Brady to the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't see that happening.
Let me ask you a question, though. Let's just, for the sake of argument, let's say Dak and the Cowboys cannot come to terms on a deal. So it would be a one-year franchise tag at $27 million. Mm-hmm. Let's say they also hear from Tom Brady's agent, I think it's Don Yee, he would accept 1 year, $27 million. If you could have either of these players for 1 year at the exact same contract for the Dallas Cowboys, who do you think next year would be better for them?
I would say Dak Prescott, because you know if you move off of Dak Prescott and go to Tom Brady, you're not going to be able to have Dak Prescott as an option down the road. You know that's not going to happen.
So it's more about the future.
It's about the longevity of it. You have to give yourself as many cracks at it as you possibly can. And with the contracts and the players that the Cowboys already have locked up, it makes sense to go down the road with a long-term extension with Dak eventually, as opposed to going with Tom Brady for a 1 or 2 year proposition. To me, that makes all the sense in the world. I'm not going to go with a 43-year-old quarterback when I have a 26-year-old quarterback that seems like he's on the uptick and he had a top 8 to 10 year in terms of the quarterbacks in the National Football League. So it doesn't make any sense to try to go down the road of Tom Brady. I just don't see Jerry and Steven doing that.
Come on, Jerry. You know what you want to do. Remove the Chargers as an option for Brady. Trade Dak to the Chargers for a bunch of first-round picks. You have an voided quarterback. You have all these picks. You have cap space. Bring Tom in. It would make all of our lives amazing.
When you brought that up in the morning meeting, I was like, that's ridiculous. He's never going to.
It's a little ridiculous.
Not really.
But it's interesting.
If Jerry Jones wanted Dak so badly, he could have been signed 27 different times at a much cheaper price point than he's probably going to command right now, and he still hasn't pulled the trigger.
Dak fetches you a bunch of first-round picks. You slide Brady in there, try to go win a Super Bowl. It's at least interesting to consider. TurboTax is here to help this tax season by making tax filing easier for you. They've made it their mission to give you all the tools and advice you need to get your taxes done with confidence, like making uploading your W-2 as easy as taking a picture. Just use your phone or tablet to simply snap a picture of your W-2, then watch your information appear in the right place in your tax return. You can be sure you're filing your taxes correctly while at the same time making sure you're getting the best possible refund. TurboTax. All people are tax people.
The supposed contending Clippers played the supposed dysfunctional Sixers last night and lost. Kawhi did his part, dropping 30 points, 9 assists. It was not enough. Clippers now in third place out west, now 4 games from the first place Lakers. Twan, will not contending for the top seed, you think, come back to haunt the Clippers?
I don't think so, because obviously if they stay in the second or third seed, they'll play in the Western Conference Finals in L.A., so that it won't probably really bother them in that sense. I just think what the problem with the Clippers is the lack of guys not playing, to me, shows up from time to time, and especially in big games. Late game situations, not the organization, because I play for Doc. I know Doc is probably not practicing a lot. They're probably doing a lot of dummy offense. They're probably doing a lot of individual work. So they don't have a lot of 5-on-5 continuity. And when you add in big pieces like Morris, you got to get up and down and have some real practices. Just to, now you got All-Star break coming. So I think they're doing so much to try to keep everybody healthy going into the playoffs. You got to build some type of team continuity. And that's why I like the Lakers and what LeBron and them are doing over there. They're playing, getting some team continuity. So come playoff time, it's just second nature. So I think they're hurting themselves by so many guys sitting. Now, I don't understand the load management. That's not something I'm with. I'm old school. I'm into playing. I think, you know, obviously you get paid to play. I love to play. Didn't like the practice. I didn't like the practice. I don't like three-man weave and the defensive shuttle drills, but you tell me play 5-on-5, I want to play. And I don't understand that. So that I have a whole different take on that load management. But if they're going to continue to get better and better and want to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series, they're going to have to start playing against some continuity because they got pieces that miss too many games.
And if they want to get to the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, the Lakers are 5 losses clear of the Clippers. And if they win tonight against the Nuggets, they'll be 5 losses clear of the field in the Western Conference with 30 games to play. They will have all but locked up the one seed. The one seed in the West is, to me, drastically different than the two seed because the Grizzlies are a nice story, but they are not a real threat to anybody. 5, 6, 7, whether it's Houston, OKC, who's been one of the surprise teams, Dallas, which has been awesome when Luka has played, those are going to be tough series out West that while the Lakers will get their rest when they sweep the first round opponent, and whether it's Memphis, if the Pelicans climb up there, if Portland gets there, that's a sweep. That is a 4-game, 1-week sweep while everyone else is in some type of war. And I also think when we have so much of the Clippers' optimism, and in fact, nearly all of it comes from two places. One is, 2-0 against the Lakers. I can't say a single thing about the Clippers without Clipper fans tweeting me 2-0 against the Lakers. You're hanging your whole hat on 2 quarters, not 2 games. That first game's tied at the end of the third quarter. Second game tied at the end of the fourth quarter. In fact, the Lakers had a lead with 6 minutes left in that. Now, the Clippers played better in those closing quarters, and credit to them. But that is a lot of faith you're putting in on the tiniest of sample sizes. And the other question I have for you, Antoine, is while no one can deny how excellent Kawhi was in the postseason last year, do we now think we have drastically underrated how excellent that Raptors team was? The Raptors, before he got there, won 59 games. The year he was there, won 58 and went 17-5 in the 22 games he sat. The Raptors team this year is on a 15-game winning streak on pace to win 60 games. That I understand Kawhi was excellent in the Eastern, in the whole playoff run, essentially. But I do think we now need to start looking at it. It wasn't Kawhi and a bunch of guys that won a championship last year. It was a great team, which to me also makes you question, is Kawhi going to have this playoff switch all of a sudden and carry a team? Was he actually carrying a team, or was he the best player on a really good team last year?
He was the best player on a really, really good team that already had playoff experience. The only problem they had LeBron James in their way.
Yep.
And if you watch the Eastern Conference, they couldn't get past LeBron James. DeMar DeRozan was playing at the best he's ever played in his career. He was one of the premier two guards in the league. And obviously, when they played against LeBron James, they couldn't get over that hump. Now you get a guy like Kawhi, who's had success against LeBron in the finals, guarding him and doing some things. So the confidence level, I think, was a little bit higher. Obviously, LeBron wasn't there in the Eastern Conference, but I thought they felt very good about their chances of getting to the finals, and that's why they made the move for Kawhi, because they probably needed a star that's kind of been there before. DeMar DeRozan couldn't really get you over that hump. But no, Kawhi Leonard's played on all great teams. Well, he got a chance to play with Duncan. You know, Tony Parker, Ginobili when he came in. Yep. Obviously, the Toronto team has been very good. And the team they're assembled right now with the Clippers is very good. It's not a guy like a LeBron James in 2007 that went to the finals by himself and took a team that...
Or LeBron 2 years ago after the post-Kyrie trade. Same
so
situation.
So it's two different types of situations. And obviously, we understand that. And I think people that know basketball understand that, not taking anything away. You got to have a little luck to win a title.
Which Kawhi did with Toronto.
You got to have a little luck, with Golden State.
With the Warriors' injuries.
Yeah, with the, of course.
I would say more focusing on the injuries and those guys not being able to play. And he also played good enough. I wouldn't say he played great in the finals. He played good enough to help them get over. Some other guys, the role players I thought played, Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, those guys played great. Yeah,
Kawhi was great in round two against the Sixers, and he was great in the final four games against the Bucks. You're absolutely right. He was good in the finals. Last two games of the finals, we wore down a bit, but the Warriors at that point were a mash unit. They were without everyone essentially but Steph and Draymond. So it is so odd to me. And I know people say, oh, Nick, you're a LeBron guy. I set that aside. It is so odd to me that there is more benefit of the doubt come the playoffs this year being assigned to Kawhi than there is LeBron and the Lakers. The Lakers have been better. The Lakers have the best player. They have the far better second best player. They're going to have home court advantage. They're going to have the easier path. And people keep saying, well, 2-0 against the Lakers. Okay, you might be playing the Rockets in the first round of the playoffs.
They may sweep the Lakers. That don't mean anything come playoff time. The Lakers are the one seed.
Yeah, I do. I remember a year, I think Atlanta swept the Lakers in the regular, or the Cavs in the regular season, and the Cavs then swept them in the postseason. So we'll see. We'll just see. And by the way, I didn't see a big man rim defending for the Clippers yesterday. Seemed to be a bit of a problem.
We almost got through the segment without rim protection.
Well, it just seems like an issue. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Last season was supposed to be Cam Newton's bounce back. He spent the summer of 2019 rehabbing his injured throwing shoulder, and as we know, this past season had to be shut down due to foot injury. He couldn't quite get it right. So here's Panthers team owner David Tepper on Cam's future in Carolina.
Listen, I'm not a doctor. You know, I said it a million times. Is he healthy? And how does, I mean, he's not a doctor. So, you know, there's a lot of different things can happen. But first is he healthy? Tell me that, and then we can talk.
That seems pretty non-committal, Kenny. You think Cam Newton should be the Panthers' starting quarterback next season? Because I'm not sure David Tepper does.
No, I don't think he should be the starting quarterback, and I don't think he will be the starting quarterback. When David Tepper bought the team, he went out and said that this was not going to be a quick turnaround. This was going to be a long process. That's why he gave Matt Rhule, their new head coach, an unprecedented contract, 7 years, $60 million, could go up to $70 million with incentives. So I think that they're looking at this thing from a practical standpoint. Whether you have a healthy Cam Newton or not, based on all of the losses that you've had this offseason already and the organization pivoting off of Ron Rivera to a new guy, I think this is the perfect time to move off of Cam Newton. He's got a very controllable contract. It's a one-year proposition for a prospective team at $19 million in base. So I think it's a contract that you can move and bring back assets. And if you're going through a rebuild, it helps to have more draft capital. So I think there's a lot of reasons why the Carolina Panthers should move on from Cam.
All right, before I give my opinion on this, I want to ask you a question. So if they are in full-on rebuild, who's the best player on their team?
Christian McCaffrey.
So it's a running back, and I understand he's a hybrid. He also is pass catcher, but he's a running back. Shortest shelf life, historically speaking, of any position. He's also in short order going to be up for a new contract. If you're in rebuild mode, what are you doing with Christian McCaffrey?
Well, you probably have to move off of Christian McCaffrey.
So you're trading him as well?
Well, yeah, you might as well. I mean, I don't understand why you would continue to try to depreciate an asset. You know what I mean? Yeah. At some point, you're going to have to pay Christian McCaffrey. That bill is going to come due, and he's seeing what other running backs are getting around the National Football League. When Derrick Henry gets paid this offseason, that's only going to make his asking price higher. So, I mean, it does
make
sense.
And this, by the way, is the year that after 3 years when Gurley got paid, mm-hmm. when who's the other running back who just got paid?
Zeke.
This is the time when guys have gotten paid. So you would flip McCaffrey and really just rip this thing all the way down to the studs.
Well, I mean, it's almost already down to the studs. So, I mean, it just makes sense. If the Carolina Panthers aren't going to be very competitive, whether you have either player healthy and available for the entire year, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to hold on to those guys. And then you couple in the injury concerns that we've had from Cam. It's been 3 seasons since we've seen Cam play a full 16. So I have some serious concerns about whether or not you want to put him out there this year, especially when you can get something in return for him this offseason.
Well, and at this point, if I'm Cam Newton or I'm Cam Newton's agent, I say, okay, that's enough. You guys were noncommittal with me before. You saw the disaster that your quarterback position was without me, and you still are noncommittal, even though it's going to be a full 12 months before this next season rolls around since I suffered that Liz Frank injury. I'd like to be moved. If I'm Cam Newton, I don't want to be there anymore. He hasn't said that. He hasn't gone that far. Hearing that from the owner, I'd say, don't worry about my health, bro. I got you. Trade me. Go ahead, and because you're right. It is, to me, that is a very attractive one-year trial. I don't think Cam's in a position where he can demand a new contract upon arrival with a new team, right? He would be playing out the one-year $19 million left on his deal, see if he can stay healthy, see if he can get back to Pro Bowl form. But I don't want to be there if I'm him anymore. Not only because Greg Olsen's gone and Luke Kuechly is retired, and they have seemingly never quite been able to draft the right wide receivers on the outside, but also because I'm the best player in the history of your franchise. I've always conducted myself well. Like, Cam has been great in the community. He's been a great leader. His teammates adore him. We have had Greg Olsen on the show multiple times talking about that. Christian McCaffrey on the show talking about that. And that's the comment you make. We got to see if he's healthy, which, by the way, if you are going to move off me, hurts my value. If you do just say we're going to cut you, whatever it is, hurts my value. I don't want to be there anymore if I'm Cam Newton. I've said for a year the Panthers' best option is to stick with Cam Newton. They seem to be noncommittal on it. If I'm Cam, I'm noncommittal on them. Because I think there are teams out there, Canty, whether it's the Chargers, whether it's the Bears, if they want to admit that Trubisky's a sunk cost, whether it's the Titans, if the Tannehill asking price gets too high.
I would throw the Colts in that conversation as well.
Colts would be really interesting. And you finally have Cam behind a great offensive line. Like, there's the Bucs, if I think Bruce Arians loved to have Cam Newton, if you decide you don't want Jameis Winston, there's a lot. The Patriots, if Tom Brady goes somewhere else, Patriots seem like the exact type of team that would trade a mid-round pick for a one-year trial of Cam Newton, even if they want to continue to develop Stidham. If I'm Cam, I don't want to be there anymore, because you are publicly saying, you know what I mean? Hey, how's the marriage with your wife going? Well, we'll see. We'll see if she gets back together. I'm not saying we're getting divorced, but I'm also not saying we're going to be together in a year. Like, okay. Well, then send me the papers and I'll sign them, because that's to me what David Tepper just did there.
But you seem to think Cam has more in the tank and more left than you do. I think the jury's still out for you on how much Cam can offer a team. We know he's not going to get back to MVP Cam, but how far back do you think he can get?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think any team is going to sign up for Cam Newton being their starting quarterback and penciling him in for the week one guy. I just think with the injury history, there's a certain amount of risk that comes along with that. I think it's going to be a situation where he'll be competing with an incumbent that's on a controllable salary. That's why I threw out the Bears. That's why I threw out the Colts, because both of those teams have young quarterbacks at a relatively controllable number. They have the cap space to be able to absorb a contract like Cam Newton's, or if they don't have it, they can easily get to it. So it just felt like that makes a lot of sense, just because I don't think any team is going to go all in with Cam, because there is a significant risk associated with it.
And I would, if I were a team out there and my other options are to pay Ryan Tannehill a bunch of money, to pay Teddy Bridgewater a bunch of money, I absolutely would pencil cancel Cam in as my week one starter. Prior to the TJ Watt hit, and I understand since then it's the shoulder injury and then the foot injury, two totally different parts of the body, two totally different injuries. Cam Newton, for all his rugged style of play, had missed three games in his career. So he is a guy who it felt like he was dinged a lot,
right.
But he found a way to be available every time, or nearly every time, prior to the end of the 2018 season and all of last season. I think Cam's still got another chapter left, and I think the Panthers will regret it not being there.
You're absolutely right. I think he does have a little more left in the tank. I don't know if the Panthers will regret it, because that team seems like they're actively trying to lose for Lawrence, the guy that's right down I-85 at Clemson University.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
We'll see how that plays out. But let's not forget in all of this, the team did float out there early December that they would entertain trade talks for Cam Newton this offseason. Yep. Let's not forget that happened. Yep. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Yep. It seems like the Carolina Panthers have shown Cam Newton
that they're ready to move on.
Who's my guy that I liked again?
You liked Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyle. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.